bar. I slide onto a stool and look in the opposite direction, examining the decor. A lighted mirror behind the bar displays shelves of liquor. Red leather booths line one end of the room and the opposite wall. At the other end of the room, a pool table is brightly lit from above with a lamp bearing the Budweiser logo. The rest of the place is dark and smells like stale beer, French fries, and tobacco. It could be any bar anywhere on the planet. I find the ordinariness of it oddly comforting.
What do you have?
The bartender, a bespectacled hipster wearing suspenders with jeans and a knitted black beanie on his head, looks all of 18 years old. Makes me feel ancient, and I hate him for it. Johnny Walker Blue, I tell him. Three fingers. Neat.
Nice.
He says, nodding, as if I give a shit about his opinion. Calm down, Kayla. He's just doing his job. I send him a weak smile to make up for my unkind thoughts. He gives me a look like he's worried I might be hitting on him and quickly spins away, reaching for a bottle. I prop my elbows on the bar, drop my head into my hands, and sigh. From beside me, a low voice says,
You okay?
My heart sinks. I don't bother looking over. I already know who it is. That's the third time you've asked me that, Mr. Leeride.
And that's the fifth time you've called me by my father's name. I didn't like my father, which is why I keep asking you to call me Aiden.
When I lift my head and look at him, he's leaning on the bar, gazing down at me with those dark eyes. His expression is serious, bordering on intense. But I don't think it's about the name thing. I think he's worried about me. That makes two of us. I apologize.
Accepted,
he says instantly.
What are you doing here?
The hipster bartender sets my drink in front of me, then walks off to take care of another customer. I pick up the glass and hold it aloft. Enjoying some exceptional Scottish whiskey.
Without your husband?
I freeze. Then I remember how to breathe and take a swig of scotch. How observant you are. He gazes at my profile with such unwavering focus. I want to ask him if he's trying to memorize it so he can pick me out of a police lineup. Then he slides onto the stool next to me. Shit.
No need to make that face. I don't bite.
I'm not making any face. And the biting thing is debatable.
You don't like me very much, do you?
I exhale heavily, then take another swig of scotch. This will sound cliché, but it's not you. It's me.
You're right. It does sound cliché.
If I told you the reason, you'd understand.
So, tell me the reason.
He sits facing me with his thighs spread open so one of his legs is on either side of my stool. I'm not trapped. I can turn the other way on the stool and hop off, but somehow it feels as if I am. I look at him from the corner of my eye. He's in a black t-shirt and black leather jacket tonight with jeans to match. Even his boots are black. He looks more like the founder of an underground fight club than ever. I'm going through kind of a rough time.
Your house.
He prompts. I get the feeling he knows my rough time has nothing to do with my house. He just wants to keep me talking. I clear my throat, lick my lips, and debate how much to tell him. It's more personal than that. A couple takes the two stools to my left. They're laughing and talking about the movie they've just seen. The man slings an arm casually around the woman's shoulders, pulling her in for a kiss. Watching them, I'm shot through the heart with an arrow of anguish. The kiss, the companionship, the simple joy of being with someone you love, sharing a laugh and a drink. Thinking you have all the time in the world until, out of nowhere, that clock stops ticking. My throat closes. My eyes sting. I stand abruptly and set down my drink. In a strangled voice, I say, I have to go. Without a word, Aiden picks up my glass, takes me gently by the arm, and steers me away toward the booth he was sitting at in the corner. Struggling not to cry, I let him lead me over to it. I sit first. Instead of sitting across from me, he slides in beside me. When I stiffen, he says,
You can cry if you need to. No one can see you from here.
He's right. His bulk blocks out the rest of the bar. It's just the two of us, facing the wall with a framed copy of Dogs Playing Poker hanging on it. I slouch down, lean my head back against the booth, and press my fingertips into my eye sockets. We sit there like that for what seems like a long time, the jukebox playing in the background, and the low hum of conversation and clinking glasses in the air. Eventually, I hear the sound of a glass sliding over the tabletop toward me.
Whiskey will help. For a while, anyway.
I peek through my fingers. The glass of Johnny Walker Blue sits on the table in front of me. To my left, Aiden gazes down at me with hooded eyes. I whisper, "Thank you," and lift the glass, draining it in one go. Aiden grunts. I don't know if it's an approval or disapproval, and I don't fucking care either way. He catches the bartender's eye, lifts two fingers, and motions for another round. Hipster boy nods, acknowledging him. We don't speak again until our drinks have been delivered and the bartender has gone on his way. Aiden says in a low voice,
"He hurting you? Smacking you around?"
I know who he means by he, and I almost laugh at that. Michael was the least aggressive person on the planet. He couldn't even watch a boxing match because the violence would upset him so much. No. Aiden's silence seems doubtful. I know I don't owe this guy any explanation, but he's being kind to me, and he's obviously concerned, so I reluctantly tell him a half-truth. He left me.
You're separated?
That's one way of putting it. Yes. He takes a long draw of his beer, then swallows and sets the glass down.
Never married myself. Can't see the point to it.
You'd see the point if you'd ever been in love.
You say that like you think I haven't.
Have you? He takes another swig of beer. Licking his lips, he gazes at me.
No.
And you don't know what you're missing. His gaze grows penetrating.
Yeah, it looks like all kinds of fun.
That stings. I break eye contact and sip from the new glass of whiskey. It's worth it. No matter how bad it can get. No matter if it all falls apart in the end, it's worth every minute.
Even when you wind up crying in a bar next to a stranger?
Yes, and I'm not crying, and technically, you're not a stranger. He huffs out a breath through his nose that might be a laugh.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
He throws his head back and drains the rest of his beer. I drink more of my whiskey and fiddle with my wedding band, twisting it around my ring finger with my thumb. Aiden notices.
Can I ask you a personal question?
It would be great if you didn't. Ignoring that, he says.
Do you find me attractive?
My breath catches. My heartbeat takes off at a gallop. I set the glass down on the table and say carefully, I'm married.
That wasn't my question.
Aiden.
Because I think you're beautiful. Sad. A little bitchy. But fucking beautiful. I want you to come home with me tonight.
Floored, I gape at him. What? He doesn't smile. He doesn't respond. He simply stares right into my eyes and waits. I rip my gaze away from his and fix it on the framed copy of Dogs Playing Poker while I struggle to get my breathing under control. I don't sleep with strangers.
You just said I wasn't a stranger.
Fine, I don't sleep with recent acquaintances either.
Look at me.
I'd rather not. He takes my chin in his hand and turns my head so I'm staring into his eyes.
Do you find me attractive?
My body erupts into flames. I swallow nervously, then say, no.
Right. Let's try that again. And this time, be honest with me. Do you find me attractive?
I pull my lower lip between my teeth and chew on it. His gaze drops to my mouth and moves back up to my eyes. Keeping his hand on my chin, he says gruffly,
that's what I thought. So come home with me. Let me make love to you. You need it.
I pull away and cover my eyes with a hand. I can't believe you just said that.
Nobody's ever told you they wanted to fuck you before.
My face is so hot, it feels sunburned. My ears, too. I should get going.
Don't run away.
That's usually what people do when they're scared.
You're not scared of me. You're just surprised. They're two different things.
How would you know if I'm scared or not? You don't even know me.
I know enough.
I choke out an astonished laugh. God damn, you're really sure of yourself, aren't you?
Look at me, Kayla.
I can't. I might melt into a flaming puddle of embarrassment.
You shouldn't be embarrassed that you want to fuck me.
Oh, my God. Will you listen to yourself? He pulls my hand from my face and doesn't let go of it. He cups his other hand around my cheek and gently turns my head toward him. When I'm looking at him, he says,
"You said you were a good BS spotter. So tell me if you think this is BS. I want you. You want me too. You're sad. I want to make you feel better, even if that only means for tonight. You're not afraid of me. You know I won't hurt you. You're just a little fucked up right now. You're not used to people saying exactly what they mean, and you're not sure how to handle it."
His gaze drops to my mouth again. His voice comes out husky.
"And you want me to kiss you?"
My heart pounding painfully hard, I say faintly, "You're insane, is that it? You're a crazy person."
"You know I'm not."
I can honestly say I don't even know my own name right now.
"It's Kayla,"
he says softly, then leans in and presses his lips against mine. It's barely a kiss. There's no tongue. There's hardly any pressure. It's only the slightest brush of his mouth over mine, then it's over. And I'm gasping, shaking and gasping for air because my lungs are being squeezed in a vice and every drop of adrenaline my body can produce has flooded my bloodstream. That non-kiss was electric. Staring deep into my eyes, he whispers,
"You want another one?"
I pause to take a ragged breath as he watches me from inches away, his eyes feral. I'm not sure. I'm feeling overwhelmed. My brain isn't working right, so I can't really give you an honest yes or no.
"Okay,"
he says, lightly stroking his thumb back and forth over my cheekbone.
"You let me know when you decide."
Then he withdraws and motions to the bartender for another round of drinks. I almost collapse face down onto the table, but manage to control myself. I take a gulp of whiskey and let out a heavy, uneven breath. I won't be able to drive home if I have any more to drink. Or is that your plan?
"My plan is to get you naked and find out how you sound when you come."
Holy.
"I don't want you drunk, though. I want you to remember everything so you come back for more."
You sound confident that I would.
"I am, and you will."
I shake my head in disbelief. It must be fantastic to go through life with such self-confidence.
"It is. I want to kiss you again."
"Can you please give me a minute to regain my footing? I feel like someone just pushed me off a cliff."
"You're fine."
"How do you know?"
"Because you don't want to cry anymore."
I think about that. You're right. I don't.
"You're welcome."
He's bizarrely self-confident. But I have to admit, he's not cocky. There's no arrogance in the way he speaks. It's as if he's simply stating facts and letting me decide how I want to react to them. I don't know if his straightforwardness is refreshing or weird. He's right about one thing, though. I'm not afraid of him. He's not what you'd call normal, at least in terms of my experience with men, but he only makes me nervous, not afraid. I think the nervousness could also be described as turned on, but I'm not ready to think about that yet. I ask, "Would it be okay if we sat across from each other?"
"Sure. Any particular reason why?"
"I'm finding your presence a little overpowering." He chuckles.
"I'll move, but I'm just going to give you a heads up that I'll still be overpowering across the table."
"That's probably true."
"Plus, you'll be forced to look at me. This way, you can avoid my eyes and stare at that ugly painting all you want."
That makes me smile. "You're an interesting guy, Aiden, I'll give you that."
"Thank you. I think you're interesting, too."
His voice drops.
"Those eyes of yours are fucking amazing."
My cheeks and ears grow hot again. The heat burns even hotter when he adds,
"I want those eyes open when you come for me."
My mouth goes dry. I have to take another sip of whiskey before I can speak again. Not that I'm saying I'm going to sleep with you, because I'm not. But just for the sake of conversation, you should know that I'm a lights-out kind of girl.
"Not with me, you're not."
I shake my head in disbelief. I really can't believe this.
"Why's that?"
"Because conversations like this don't happen in real life."
"Just because you haven't had them before doesn't mean they don't happen."
He keeps making all these very good points, which is highly irritating. Are all bachelors nowadays so...
What?
I'm searching for a word.
Blunt?
Explicit is closer to what I'm thinking. His chuckle is low and dangerous.
You haven't heard explicit yet, Kayla.
I finally tear my gaze away from the wall in front of me and turn to look at him. His eyes are warm, and so is his expression, but I shiver anyway. I say firmly, I'm not having sex with you.
Okay.
I'm serious, Aiden. I'm not in the right headspace to be hooking up with anyone right now.
I hear you.
I narrow my eyes and examine his expression. Why does that sound like you still think I'm going to sleep with you?
Because I do. But I could be wrong. It happens.
We stare at each other for a moment until he says softly,
I hope I'm not, though. I really want to make you come.
I don't understand how he manages to be completely inappropriate and also ridiculously appealing. Whatever this sorcery is, I need to get away from it before I do something stupid. I'm going home now. It's been an interesting conversation, one I won't forget for a long time. His gaze drops to my mouth. With obvious regret, he says,
I won't forget it either.
He glances back up to meet my gaze.
But if you change your mind, I live right upstairs over the bar. I'm home every night after 6, and I'm up until after midnight. If you come later than that, you might have to knock a little louder because I sleep like the dead.
I'm not going to knock on your door, Aiden.
Okay.
Please stop saying that. You make the word sound nothing at all like what it means. His lips curve upward. His dark eyes dance with a mischievous light. He murmurs,
Whatever you say, boss.
And it sounds like he thinks he knows me better than I do. Then he stands and gestures toward the door.
Have yourself a good evening.
I dig in my back pocket for cash, which I set on the table. Aiden looks at me like I just stomped on his big toe.
Don't do that,
he says. Pay for my drinks?
Make it transactional.
I'm being fair.
You're being emasculating.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah? You a man?
I send him a sour look. Not the last time I checked.
Then you don't know what's emasculating. Keep your money.
With perfect timing, Hipster Boy arrives with our round of drinks. It feels like Aiden ordered them a century ago. Before he can set them down, I stand. I tell Aiden, If we were on a date, I'd let you pay for my drinks. But I fired you, and this isn't a date, so I'm paying. It was nice to see you again. I pause. I'm searching for a more accurate word than nice, but nothing comes to mind. The hipster sets the drinks on the table and says,
Baffling, bewildering, disorienting, strange.
He looks back and forth between us, then turns around and leaves again. Gazing at me with burning intensity, Aiden says,
Always liked that kid.
Goodbye, Aiden.
Good night, Kayla.
I know the difference in our farewells is deliberate on his part, but with nothing else to say, I turn and walk out.
9. Dear Kayla, thank you for writing me back. As for all the questions you asked, none of them matter. I'm sorry if that sounds rude, but it's the truth. I'll always tell you the truth. I can't do otherwise. Here's a verse you might appreciate. But already my desire and my will were being turned like a wheel, all at one speed, by the love that moves the sun and the other stars. What do you think, Dante?
10. I found the letter in the mailbox this time. No mystery appearances on the kitchen table, but still a big mystery about why it came in the first place. Because I don't know this guy. Mr. Mysterious ignored my threat to turn his letters over to the detective, so he either thinks I'm bluffing or he doesn't care. I stand in the kitchen under the flickering light and read the letter again. The verse means nothing to me. Not that it should, because it originated from the mind of a lunatic. I wish I could tell Michael about this. What a laugh we'd have. Right before he called the police. I know that's what I should do, but I'm absolutely exhausted. Maybe in the morning I'll have the strength to pick up the phone and tell a nice police dispatcher that I have a crazy pen pal, and could they please go over to the prison and tell him to stop writing me letters. But for now, all I want to do is sleep. Sleep. And forget about Aiden Leewright and his sorcery. I've still got adrenaline coursing through my veins from that chance meeting. The way he looked at me. The things he said.
My plan is to get you naked and find out how you sound when you come.
To my eternal disbelief, I actually considered his offer for a moment. It was shock. It had to be. In my normal state of mind, I'd have smacked that guy right across the face, barged out of the bar, and filed a complaint about him with the Better Business Bureau. Who talks to a customer like that? A former customer, but still. Actually, did I ever technically hire him? We negotiated pricing, but I didn't sign any kind of contract. Didn't get that far. I threw him out of my house first. Oh, God, who cares? This is all too much for me. I make sure all the doors are locked and the drapes are drawn. Then I go upstairs, put the letter with the others in my underwear drawer, and go to bed. I fall asleep within minutes. But in the middle of the night, something wakes me. Groggy. I lie in bed listening in the dark. It's stormy again, and the wind is blowing. Rain peppers the roof. A tree branch scrapes against a window pane somewhere downstairs. No, that wasn't a tree branch. It was a floorboard creaking. It sounds like someone's creeping up the stairs. I sit bolt upright in bed, my heart hammering. I listen hard, trying to hear over the crashing of my pulse. But the sound doesn't come again. Did I imagine it? Or someone in the house? I try not to panic. I try to be logical. The house is old and makes all kinds of odd noises, especially when there's a storm. Things are blowing around in the yard. Maybe the sound was a lawn chair toppling over, or a draft sighing through the living room curtains, or a total figment of my imagination seeing how I'm still adjusting to sleeping alone. All of those things make complete sense until the floorboard creaks again and I have to stifle a scream. I leap from the bed, run to the door, and lock it. Heart pounding. I grab the flashlight from under the bathroom sink. It's big, heavy, and the only thing I can think of to use as a weapon. Then I crouch down on the side of the bed opposite the door and sit there, shaking and hyperventilating, clutching the flashlight like a baseball bat. I don't know how long I huddle like that before I decide I'm being silly. If someone broke into the house, I'd have heard a window smash or a door being kicked in. I'd have heard more footsteps, not just a few groaning boards, because the stairs creak with every step. I'm just being paranoid. That has to be it. The alternative is too terrifying. I stand, wincing when my thighs cramp. I go to the door, put my ear against it, and listen. I hear nothing more than the rain on the roof. I decide to put on some clothes and quickly change out of my nightgown into jeans and a shirt. Then, with the flashlight in hand but not on, I carefully open the bedroom door and peer out. The hallway is pitch black. It's a moonless night, and the cloud cover is thick. I listen into the darkness for a moment, then tiptoe down the hall in my bare feet and look over the railing to the living room below. It's dark down there, too. Dark and silent. Nothing moves. Then my skin starts to crawl because I have the creepiest feeling I'm being watched. Get out of the house. It's not even a coherent thought. It's more like a subliminal thing, as if the ancient part of my brain screamed a warning at me. With my heart in my throat and my hands shaking, I make my way down the stairs as quickly and silently as I can. I grab the car keys off the console table in the foyer and run out of the house in a full-blown panic, not even bothering to bring my purse. 10 minutes later, I'm pounding on Aiden's door. He opens up wearing nothing but a pair of faded jeans that hang low on his hips. His hair is mussed. His stomach is flat. His chest is covered in tattoos. He's fucking magnificent. The horrible thought that he's not alone flashes through my brain right before I blurt. I'm so sorry to disturb you. I'm going now. He grabs me by the arm and pulls me inside before I can run away. Closing the door behind me, he demands,
"What's wrong? What happened?"
My teeth start to chatter. This is when I realize I'm soaking wet because I ran out of the house into the rain without a coat on. Or shoes, for that matter. Or underwear. I cross my arms over my chest in an attempt to hide my breasts under the thin t-shirt I'm wearing. "I thought someone broke into my house." His dark brows pull together.
"So you came here?"
I'm a moron. I'm the stupidest person to ever walk the face of the earth. For the safety of the rest of humanity, I should be locked away in a government-operated facility for the rest of time. He must see the distress on my face because he says gently,
That wasn't a reproach.
I make a mental note that this hot roofer has a good vocabulary, but get distracted when he adds,
"You're wet."
His gaze moves slowly down my body, taking in my soaked clothing and my bare feet. It travels back up again, getting snagged on my lips before finally settling on my eyes. His voice husky, he says,
"Let's get you warm, then you can tell me what happened."
He leads me inside by the elbow, sits me down at his kitchen table, and disappears into another room. For a towel, I suppose. Though he could be calling the cops to tell them to pick up the crazy lady who just showed up soaking wet on his doorstep in the middle of the night. Shivering, I look around. His place is small but tidy. The kitchen and living room are next to each other in an open concept design. The space is visually separated by a set of open bookcases with a sofa and chairs on the other side, along with a TV and a coffee table. Down the hallway where he disappeared must be the bedrooms. I'm surprised how clean and neat it is, considering a bachelor lives here. There aren't even any dirty dishes in the sink. He returns with a fluffy white towel in his hands and commands,
"Stand up."
Though I usually get grouchy when someone barks orders at me, I obey without protesting. He wraps the towel around my back and shoulders and starts to rub my arms with it. Without looking at my face, he says,
"Don't be embarrassed."
Easy for you to say. You're not the wet idiot standing in a stranger's kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not a stranger, remember? And you're not an idiot.
He seems irritated that I call myself that. Or maybe his irritation has to do with my unexpected arrival, which would make a lot more sense. The poor man has to go to work in the morning, and now he's got a soaking psychopath to deal with. He pulls the towel up over my head and starts blotting the rain from my hair. My face flaming, I say miserably, "I think I might be dying of humiliation."
"You're not dying of anything. Be quiet and let me do this."
I close my eyes and stand there, wondering how a person would know if they lost their mind. But I force myself to stop thinking about it because the signs of insanity probably include imagining the rain as a burglar and fleeing for help to the home of the roofer you fired and turned down for sex. In a conversational tone, Aiden says,
"We're going to have a discussion later about why you chose me to come to when you were scared. But in the meantime, walk me through what happened."
I'm too chicken to look at him while I talk, so I keep my eyes shut and tell him everything. When I'm done, he says,
"You don't have a security alarm?"
"No."
"We'll fix that tomorrow."
I finally get the courage to look at him. His expression is a nice combination of amusement and concern. Those dark eyes of his are warm, but his brows are still drawn down. Resisting the urge to reach up and pet his beard, I say, "What do you mean?"
"You know what I mean, and you're still shivering."
"I can't help it. I'm freezing." He stops rubbing my head with the towel.
"I'm going to say something now. Don't freak out."
"You should have just said it. Now I have to freak out."
"You need to change into dry clothes."
I frown at him. Why would that freak me out?
"Because the dry clothes you're going to change into are mine."
We stand a foot apart, me shivering with cold, him smoldering with heat, until I say, "I doubt you have anything that would fit me." He smiles.
"Look at you, not freaking out at all."
"Oh, I am, but I've done enough weird things for one night, so I'm keeping it on the inside."
"Come with me."
He leads me by the hand out of the kitchen and down the hallway into his bedroom. While he goes into his closet and turns on the light, I stare at his bed, which consists of one pillow and a blanket on top of a mattress laid out right on the floor. The only other things in the room are a simple wood dresser on one wall and a bookcase stuffed with books on the other.
"Yeah, I know. Super deluxe. Here."
He's back, holding out a black sweatshirt so large I could wear it to dinner with a belt and heels and be well-dressed. I take it from him and clutch it to my chest like a security blanket. The towel is still draped around my head and shoulders. I'm still shaking with cold. I feel utterly ridiculous. "Aiden?"
"Yes, Kayla?"
"I'm really sorry about this. I promise I'm not a giant basket case. I'm just a little one." Looking very serious, he strokes a strand of damp hair off my cheek. He murmurs,
"You're not anything but beautiful."
After a pause, he adds,
"You don't have to freak out about that either. I don't try to seduce traumatized women who run in from the rain."
"Okay, thanks for that. Do you possibly have a pair of sweatpants I could wear with this?"
You'd be swimming in them.
I know, but...
But what?
I take a deep breath and say it. I'll be extremely self-conscious if my coochie is hanging out. He blinks in confusion. I don't have any underwear on.
Oh. Oh.
Yes, so...
Wait. You came over here with no underwear on.
I promise it wasn't premeditated. When he lifts a brow, I sigh. I got dressed in a panic. I didn't have time for panties.
Or a bra either.
He says, his voice lower. I wince. You noticed.
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course I noticed.
He pauses.
I also noticed that your cheeks get really red when you're embarrassed.
I say dryly. Thanks for the info. Are you giving me sweats or not?
I don't own a pair of sweatpants.
Oh.
I can put your jeans in the dryer, though.
When I don't say anything, he adds.
Or we can just stand here and stare at each other. I'm good with that, too.
Why? After a beat, he says quietly.
I like looking at you.
There's a funny sensation inside my chest. Like a tightening, but also a loosening at the same time. I'm pretty sure it means I'm about to do something I'll regret. I shrug my shoulders and let the towel drop to the floor. Then I pull my wet shirt over my head and stand naked from the waist up in front of Aiden. His gaze drops to my chest. His lips part. His pupils dilate. He remains perfectly still as he gazes at my bare breasts with burning eyes. I whisper, I want you to do more than look. In a gruff voice, he replies,
Whatever you say, boss.
And grabs me. 11. His mouth is somehow both soft and hard. It becomes evident quickly that this man not only knows how to give an incredible, barely there butterfly kiss, he also knows how to give a kiss that's devouring. And so damn good. He holds me tightly in his arms as he takes my mouth, and I shiver against him, skin on skin, my pulse flying. I'm not even sure if I'm holding myself up or he is. We kiss passionately until he moans into my mouth and pulls away, panting. He cups my breasts in his big rough hands and bends down to kiss them. When his hot mouth closes over a hard nipple, I gasp at the sensation. I gasp again when he sucks, when his teeth scrape over that nipple at the same time he tweaks the other one between two fingers. I moan and sag against him, digging my hands into his hair. I don't care if this is crazy. I don't care if this is wrong. I don't care about anything right now except losing myself in this beautiful beast for a while. My fucked up life will be waiting for me right where I left it tomorrow. Aiden picks me up. I wrap my legs around his waist and lower my head, hungry for his mouth. He gives it to me, thrusting his tongue between my lips and gripping my ass. We kiss as he turns and walks toward the bed, and don't stop kissing as he kneels on the mattress, lowers me down, and drops on top of me. His weight, God, his weight is amazing. Michael weighed 165 after a big meal. Aiden must be well over 200 pounds of pure muscle. He kisses my jaw, my neck, my chest, my breasts again too, roughly and greedily. I arch my back and close my eyes, loving how his beard feels against my skin, how hard he's breathing, how he's not treating me like I'm a fragile, breakable thing, but as if he thinks I'm strong enough to handle whatever he wants to give me. And I want him to give me everything, like right fucking now. Squirming underneath him, I say breathlessly, Take off my jeans. Hurry. He lifts his head and gazes at me with hot eyes.
What's the rush?
You just told me I'm the boss, so I'm telling you to hurry. Holding my gaze, he lowers his head, traces his tongue round and round my aching nipple, which I take to mean that him saying I'm the boss was only a figure of speech. He moves to the other nipple and does the same thing. Braced on his elbows, he lies on top of me between my spread thighs and goes back and forth between my breasts, sucking and licking until I'm whimpering and begging him not to tease me.
I'm not teasing you, baby,
he says in a throaty voice.
I'm giving you what you need.
I'd pass out, but I don't want to miss anything. kisses and licks his way down my stomach to the waistband of my jeans, then slides the tip of his tongue underneath it. When I shudder, groaning, he chuckles. Then he rips open the button, pulls down the zipper, shoves his face in the opening, and inhales. He makes a noise deep in his throat, a primal, masculine sound of desire that sends a shiver straight through me. With another fast movement, he yanks my jeans down my hips, exposing me. He buries his face between my legs and starts licking. Moaning helplessly, I plunge my hands into his hair and time the movement of my hips to the strokes of his tongue. I can't open my thighs wider because they're now restricted by the waistband of my jeans. But it doesn't matter. Aiden knows exactly what he's doing. He slides his hands under my ass and lifts my hips, gripping my ass cheeks and French kissing my pussy as I writhe and moan in desperation. Shuddering, I gasp his name.
Come on,
he whispers hotly, flicking his tongue back and forth over my throbbing clit.
Let go, baby.
I've never had a man call me that before. Michael didn't use nicknames, and the boyfriends I had before him didn't either. I don't know why I find it so insanely sexy, but I do. I don't want him to call me Kayla ever again. He stops licking to suckle on my clit like he's drawing milk from a nipple. I orgasm in his mouth, mindlessly crying out his name. He continues sucking until I beg him to stop because it's too sensitive. Then he stands up, pulls my jeans the rest of the way down my legs, pops open the buttons on his fly, and tears his own jeans off. I get a split-second view of thigh tattoos and an erection surrounded by dark pubic hair before Aiden is on top of me, again, kissing me passionately as he slides the head of his cock up and down between my pussy lips to get it lubricated. He shoves it inside me with one sudden, forceful thrust. As I cry out, he growls into my ear.
Tell me if I need to pull out, or I'm going to come inside you.
Without waiting for an answer, he starts to fuck me deep and hard, and I love it. God help me, but I do. He said he was going to make love to me, but this is far more animalistic than that. It's rough and rowdy, and I have to fight back the laugh of euphoria that wants to break from my chest. When he takes my mouth again, I taste myself on him. Some dim part of my brain recognizes that all the lights are on, and I should probably be feeling at least a little self-conscious, but there's no room for that. With every powerful thrust of his hips, he's taking me out of my head and deeper into my body, making me feel everything. My hard nipples dragging against his chest, his fingers pulling my hair, our teeth clashing as we kiss deeply. The noises we're both making and the sounds of our bodies joining. I think I can even hear his heart pounding as madly as mine. Then he startles me by rolling to his back and taking me with him. Panting, I stare down at him in a haze of pleasure. I flatten my hands over his broad chest. He licks his lips and runs his hands up and down my body, pausing to squeeze my breasts, then follows the shape of my ribcage and waist down to my hips. He digs his fingers into the flesh there and flexes his pelvis upward, driving himself deeper inside me.
Move,
he orders through clenched teeth. The man doesn't have to ask twice. I bounce up and down on his hard cock until my thighs are aching and both of us are groaning and sweating, and he says,
you need to come?
Yes. He presses his thumb against my clit and keeps it there as I work my hips, madly gorging myself on his thick shaft. He commands darkly.
Then do it.
It's as if he threw a switch. My vagina starts to convulse, clenching around his dick in violent, rhythmic pulses. They're so powerful, I lose my breath. I drop my head back, close my eyes, and sink my fingernails into his chest muscles, listening to him grunt in pleasure as he fucks me and I come hard on his cock. He reaches up and roughly squeezes my breast.
So fucking good,
he hisses.
Jesus Christ. Kayla, fuck. I'm right.
He breaks off with a groan and comes inside me, jerking. I look down at him. His eyes are closed. His head is tipped back on the pillow. His abdominal muscles are clenched, and so are his jaw and biceps. His skin gleams with a light sheen of sweat. A vein is popped out and pulsing wildly in the side of his neck, and I understand with a flash of brilliant clarity that this felt as good for him as it did for me. That feeling of euphoria returns. Without knowing I'm going to do it, I start to laugh. Breathing hard, Aiden opens his eyes and gazes up at me. He says gruffly,
"You good?"
I grin at him. "Don't worry. I'm not having a psychotic break or anything. This is just like, wow." His dark eyes flashing, he returns my grin and squeezes my hips. He looks like a pirate who just found a shitload of gold treasure. I'm hit with a sudden awful thought that he might think this is just another average Thursday night for me. Like maybe hopping into bed with semi-strangers is par for the course and this was nothing special. I don't want him to think that. So I say, "I promise I don't normally do this. Actually, I've never done this before."
"Had sex?"
I thump him on his chest. "You know what I mean, funny guy." Still grinning, he grabs me around the waist and rolls me to my back, keeping his cock inside me. He settles his weight between my legs and leans down so our chests are pressed together. Then he kisses me deeply, holding my head in his big hands. When we come up for air, he murmurs,
"Lucky me."
I wrap my legs around his back and my arms around his shoulders and sigh in contentment. He nuzzles my neck, inhaling deeply into my hair, then exhaling with a noise of pleasure. He whispers,
"I wanted to get you dry, but I ended up getting you even wetter, didn't I?"
"Don't sound so pleased with yourself," he chuckles.
"I am, though. That was incredible."
A little shiver of satisfaction runs through my body. Then I start to worry what I'm supposed to do next. Stay? Sleep? Put my wet clothes into his dryer and pace around in simmering embarrassment until I can run away? He raises his head and stares down at me.
"You're spending the night."
I blink in surprise. "Are you a mind reader or something?"
"No. Why?"
No reason.
"Bullshit."
"Okay, fine. I was just wondering if I should go home now."
"I just told you that you're spending the night. You can leave in the morning and have the rest of your life to worry that this was a mistake. But for tonight, you're staying right here."
He flexes his hips when he says "here," letting me know he's not done sexing me up yet. "What if I want to leave?"
"You don't."
"You seem pretty sure of that." He kisses me softly on the lips. Smiling, he says,
"I like it when I irritate you."
"That's unfortunate, because I like it when I'm not being irritated."
"Your mouth gets all puckered and your nose wrinkles up. You look like a prissy old lady."
"Whoa, slow down with the compliments, Romeo. I'll swoon hard and hit my head on something."
"You know what I just realized?"
he whispers, eyes burning. I say tartly, "That your life is in danger."
"That now I know what you sound like when you come."
"So what about it?" He lowers his head and bites my earlobe, then says gruffly,
"So it's my new favorite sound. I want to hear it again."
Then he thrusts his hips, driving into me. My moan is broken. Eyelids fluttering, I say, "How are you still hard?"
"I'm not done fucking you yet, that's how."
"Oh, that reminds me. You promised you were going to make love to me, not fuck me."
"Semantics."
He thrusts again. I say breathlessly, "No, I remember. You said make love."
"I said I'd give you what you need, which is exactly what I'm doing."
He thrusts again, this time leaning down to suck hard on the side of my throat as he does it. I moan softly, arching against him, tilting my head to give him better access to my neck as I rock my pelvis into his. It makes him chuckle darkly.
"See?"
Tugging on a lock of his hair, I whisper, "Time to shut up now, Aiden."
"Yes, ma'am."
Without another word, he snaps his hips, driving his hard cock into me. He does it again when I shudder and moan. He keeps up the pace, fucking me relentlessly and kissing me all over my neck and breasts until I start to buck and cry out, clawing my fingernails into his shoulders. His mouth next to my ear, he says in a guttural voice,
"Is this what you need, baby? You like it rough?" Or do you want me to recite some poetry and make you a cup of fucking tea?
This. His laugh is so dark and pleased it makes me shiver. I orgasm listening to that laugh and wondering what the hell I've gotten myself into. 12. I wake in dim gray morning light in Aiden's arms. My head rests on his chest. His heart thumps a slow, steady beat beneath my ear. He's got both his big, heavy arms wrapped around my body, holding me tight even in sleep. I take a moment to orient myself to this new version of reality where I'm waking up on a mattress on the floor with a man who lives over a bar and has more tattoos on his chest alone than everyone else I know has combined, and decide almost instantly that I like it. Him, I mean. I like him. That surprises me. I'm not prone to liking people in general. I mildly distrust most people until I get to know them better, which is usually when I decide I don't ever want to see them again. Michael and I had that in common, a vague disappointment in and aversion to the human race as a whole. It's a miracle he was so good at his job, considering he had to interact with so many people on a daily basis in his classroom. Thinking about Michael sobers me. He'd be shocked if he could see me right now.
What are you doing?
He'd cry, his brow creased in dismay.
The man probably doesn't even have a college degree.
He was a snob about higher education. It was a point of contention between us that I was satisfied with my bachelor's degree in fine arts and had no desire to go for a master's. But of the two of us, I was the more practical one, and tighter with money. I couldn't justify going further into debt for an additional degree that wouldn't help me earn more. But to Michael, education was its own reward. I found paying the bills on time plenty rewarding enough. His voice thick with sleep, Aiden says.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
Good. I need to fuck you again.
As I laugh softly, he rolls me over to my back and kisses my neck. You're not even awake yet, Fight Club. He lifts his head and gazes down at me with heavy-lidded eyes.
Fight Club?
That's what I thought when I first saw you, that you looked like the founder of a fight club. Then I grimace. Is that bad?
No, because I am the founder of a fight club.
I gape at him. Seriously?
No, I just wanted to see what you'd do when I said that.
Oh, your terrible sense of humor is showing again.
Can't say I didn't warn you.
He is very, very handsome in the muted morning light. I reach up and brush a lock of dark hair out of his eyes, tracing my fingertip across his forehead and over a silky eyebrow. I whisper, I like your widow's peak. It's sexy.
So's your gorgeous ass.
I can feel myself blushing. Thank you. He rubs his cheek against mine, dragging his beard against it, and says into my ear,
almost as sexy as that desperate little moan you make when you're getting close to coming for me.
I hide my face in his neck, close my eyes, and wish I could do something about how furiously I'm blushing. My face feels as if it's on fire. He chuckles.
Don't be shy. I love it.
Because I have no idea how to respond to that, I whisper, okay. Kissing my neck, he whispers back,
how do you want me to fuck you, sweet Kayla?
Oh, God. There isn't enough time in the world to cover all of it. Vigorously? He drops his forehead to my shoulder and dissolves into soft laughter. It wasn't that funny.
I'm only laughing because that's exactly what I wanted you to say.
Really?
Yeah.
His voice drops.
Or in other words, rough.
When I just lie there and stare at him in nervy silence, he says slowly and deliberately,
I'm gonna devour you, little bunny rabbit. Piece by tasty piece. I'm going to eat you up.
A thrill goes through me. It's not fear. It's closer to exhilaration. An unbridled kind of joy that I'm wholly unfamiliar with. The strangest urge to leap from bed and make him chase me has me saying breathlessly, not if you can't catch me, you aren't. His entire body tenses. His eyes, already so dark, turn black. His nostrils flare, and I swear to God, Aiden disappears. replaced in an instant by a predator. A dangerous, beautiful predator, poised to shred me to bits with sharp teeth. With a little scream of terror and delight, I roll out from under him and scramble to my feet. I run naked out of the bedroom and down the hallway, my heart hammering, his dark laughter ringing in my ears. But there's nowhere to escape to. His apartment is small, and I'm not about to run naked out into the street. So as he strides down the hallway, I look around wildly for somewhere to hide.
"Nowhere to go, little bunny,"
he growls, standing at the end of the hallway and gazing at me with hunger in his eyes. He stalks closer, never taking his feral gaze off me. Between his legs, his cock is long and stiff, bobbing with every step.
"You're trapped. Surrender."
I tell him an outrageous lie. "Sorry, Mr. Lion King. This bunny isn't in the mood to be breakfast." Then I run into the kitchen, putting the table between us, and wait to see what he does. Well, he lunges, doesn't he? Because that's what hungry lions do. He chases me around and around the table as I scream and do my best to outmaneuver him, but he's so damn fast. When I pull out a chair to try to block him, he knocks it aside with a powerful swipe of his hand and sends it crashing against the floor. I turn and flee into the living room, but he catches me by the wrist and spins me around, yanking me against his chest. He pulls my head back by my hair, crushes his mouth to mine, and kisses me ravenously. I give in to it for a moment, calculating it will make him let down his guard, then break away. My plan is to run into the bathroom and lock the door behind me, but it's shot to hell when Aiden tackles me from behind. We fall onto the living room rug and start wrestling for control. It's over in seconds. He's much too strong. I'm no match for all those damn muscles.
"Such a wily little bunny,"
he growls, eyes flashing. He grabs my wrists and pins them to the floor over my head, then straddles me. Still squirming and trying to escape, I cry out in frustration. His laugh sounds elated.
"Bad bunny,"
he whispers.
"So bad."
He kisses me hard and flips me onto my belly so easily it's ridiculous. Then he flattens his hand between my shoulder blades, pins me to the rug, and gives me a stinging swat on my bottom. When I yelp, he does it again. "Ow!"
"So you're sorry for trying to run away, bunny?"
"No, I'm not sorry." As I hoped he would, he spanks me again, then slides his hand between my legs. He makes a low sound of pleasure in his throat.
"Not sorry, but steaming hot and slick. I think my little bunny needs to get fucked right here on this rug."
When he slides a thick finger inside me, I groan. He demands,
"Tell me you want me to fuck you."
I know this is all part of the game. I'm the mouse and he's the cat, and he wants me to give him permission to rip my guts out and eat me. But mice don't give cats permission to eat them, and neither will I. "No." His chuckle sounds pleased. He withdraws his finger from inside me and spanks me again, on both ass cheeks this time. Stinging swats that leave me breathless and so turned on, I start to grind my pelvis shamelessly against the rug to try to find release. Aiden leans down and bites my ass. It stings almost as much as the spanking did, and I love it.
"My bunny likes to get spanked, doesn't she?"
"No, let me go." Panting, I squirm helplessly. His voice low and dark, Aiden says,
"Oh, I won't be letting you go, my sweet little bunny. You're never going to get away from me."
It shouldn't excite me the way it does. The rational part of my brain knows that this is a dangerous game I'm playing with a man who's all but a stranger, and I should end it now before things go too far. I should tell him calmly that I'm afraid and I want him to stop, and I should walk out of this apartment and never see him again. The only problem is that I'm not afraid, and I don't want him to stop, and most of all, I do want to see him again. I want him to take me out of my head and keep me there, because it's a dark and scary place I'd rather not spend too much time in. But there's no way I can win this game by brute strength. He's got me beat in that department. So this little rabbit is going to have to use her brains. I stop fighting and say innocently, "Would it be okay if I use the bathroom before we do this? I'm sorry, I just realized I needed to go." After a surprised pause, Aiden says,
Sure.
The moment he removes his hand from my back and swings a leg over me, I push myself up and leap to my feet. Grinning down at his surprised face, I say, Sucker. Then I bolt from the living room. He catches me before I'm even halfway down the hall. Grabbing me by the arm, he does some kind of bending ninja move and throws me over his shoulder. As I squeal and squirm, he turns around and strides into the kitchen. He drops me on my feet next to the kitchen table. Gripping my upper arms and gazing down into my wide eyes, he whispers hotly,
Such a bad fucking bunny.
He spins me around, pushes my upper body down on the tabletop, kicks my legs apart at the ankle, and grabs my wrists in his hands, gathering them behind my back. He thrusts inside me so suddenly, I arch and cry out in shock. Bending over me, he growls into my ear.
You're gonna take it hard as punishment for running away from me. Ready?
Yes. His groan of pleasure is the last soft thing he gives me. Then he bites my shoulder and fucks me, driving into me hard over and over, thrusting so powerfully the table jumps and skips over the floor. His hands squeeze my wrists, his teeth scrape my skin. His grunts of dominance ring in my ears, and I can't remember the last time I felt this free. I rest my cheek against the smooth wood of the table, close my eyes, and surrender completely.
Get ready to take my cum, baby. Open that sweet pussy wide.
His voice is a harsh rasp near my ear. In response, I can only manage a low, broken moan. After two more hard thrusts, the motion of Aiden's hips falters. He groans. Releasing my wrists, he digs one hand into my hair and the other into my hip and yanks me back savagely against his pelvis as he grinds into me and climaxes. With my neck arched and my hard nipples skimming the table, I orgasm around his throbbing cock. He collapses on top of me, pinning me down and whispers raggedly into my ear.
Take it. Take it. Take it. Take every fucking drop, my beautiful bunny, and tell me you love it.
On the verge of sobbing, I choke out. I love it, Aiden. I love it so much. His breathless laugh sounds triumphant.
I know you do, baby. That's my good little rabbit.
Glowing like a rising sun burning through ancient darkness, I rest my cheek against the smooth wood and smile. 13. In stark contrast to his snarling savagery as he took me, Aiden is silent and gentle as he washes my body under the warm spray in the shower. I'm shaky and shell-shocked, uncertain what I'd say even if I could speak. So I'm grateful he's not asking me to. He turns me this way and that, soaping and rinsing my skin, then squirts a dollop of shampoo into his palm and washes my hair. I stand with my eyes closed and wonder what happens next. I've never had a one-night stand, so I don't know what to expect. I don't know the etiquette involved. Am I supposed to ask for his number? No, I already have that. Do I thank him? That seems weird, but then again, this whole encounter has been weird. Amazing, but weird. I can only imagine how awkward the goodbye will be. Me standing at his door in bare feet and my wrinkled clothes that probably aren't even dry yet, trying to act nonchalant and utterly failing. What do I even say? It's been great, champ. Thanks for the fabulous sausage stuffing. No. I might not be the world's greatest conversationalist, but even I know that's a non-starter. He murmurs.
Never met a woman who thinks louder than you do.
Sorry, I'm always up in my head.
You don't have to apologize. Just making an observation. Tilt your head back.
I obey him, closing my eyes and allowing him to rinse the shampoo.